chapter number 24. Luke chapter number 24. Verses 1 through 5. Don't leave me hanging. Who among us this morning has never experienced a time, a season, in which you were dealing with some people, and when something happened, they left you hanging? Maybe you loan them some money, and when they promised to pay it back, they didn't pay it back. And it was a time in which you needed it, the money, the most. Maybe you co-signed a loan for someone, and they refused to make that payment, and they just kind of left you out there. Or maybe you and your partner in crime was just kind of hanging out. The right thing or the wrong thing happened, and they act like they don't even know you. People will leave you hanging. You have to be careful who you do your dirt with. Don't act like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. When you're dealing with people, it's our nature to not be faithful in a relationship. That's who we really are. And so when you're going through something and you find yourself at a time where you really need a friend in your life, that so-called friend who's been there, but for all the wrong reasons, they leave you high and dry.
All right now.
Leave you hanging. Jesus can sympathize and empathize with that. He had walked some 3.5 years with good men.
Have mercy.
Men he called disciples.
Yes, Lord.
Men in whom he had picked.
All right now.
Men that he thought that he could trust.
All right.
But when the heat was on.
Yes, Lord.
They bounced up.
All right now.
They had to leave him. And so I can only imagine that if anybody had a right to hold a grudge against someone, Jesus had that right. After all, he had fed them, clothed them, allowed them to walk hand to hand with him. They knew him, intimate. They knew him. Yet, when it came to the cross, they left him. You wonder sometimes why, when things get tough in your life, people step out.
All right, now.
It's because God sometimes is taking you to a place.
Yes.
An inner court. A place of holiness. A place that is close to him, where your bosom buddy cannot hang out. There's an anointing that is upon your life, but that anointing has to be strengthened. It has to grow. The Bible says that even Jesus grew. Your life experiences are not to take you out, but to cause you to grow. Unfortunately, in order for us to grow sometimes, God has to crucify us. In other words, he has to allow you to be stretched. He has to put you in a place where you don't know how your bills are going to get paid. He has to put you in a place where you don't know if that car is going to start. He has to put you in a place where you don't know if the doctor knows the healing that is necessary for your body. But God will put you in a place because he loves you and because he wants to stretch your faith. Now the Bible declares it is impossible to please God without faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence or the proof of stuff I can't even see. But my faith tells me that every time I pray and ask God for something, that my God will always give me what I need and sometimes what I want. But God will allow you to walk that thing out. So God doesn't just allow the blessings to fall down on you without building your character. Amen. Now, it takes you going through stuff to build your character.
Yes, Lord.
And so Jesus found himself headed to the cross, surrounded by people that he thought had his back. Mm-hmm. Now, check this out. If Jesus' so-called friends left him, do you really think your friends won't leave you? If Jesus' so-called friends denied him, do you really think your so-called friends gonna be faithful to you? Now, people are people, however it goes. And so what we have to learn about people is that I can't put my trust in no one, but I know a man from Galilee. I know a man that knows my ups, my downs, my ins and outs, and all time of the day, I can trust him. A man that is never too busy, I can call him because he's always available to me. You act like you don't know the man. I'm talking about Jesus this morning. I'm talking about, yes, Mary's baby, but I'm talking about my Savior and my Lord. Have you ever found yourself going through something, and as you begin to go through, everybody walked out on you, and it seems like that's when Jesus really showed himself in your life. When you're going through something and people step out on you, you got to know that all that is going on is that it's just making place for Jesus. Luke, the physician, began to deal with this piece. And he says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning.
Oh, yes.
I don't know about you, but early in the morning, it seems, when you pray, you can hear from God clear.
Yeah.
It seems to me, before I get all the foolishness of the world inside of me, early in the morning, when I wake up in the morning and before I turn the computer on or text or anything else, if I can just talk with God early in the morning, it's something about early in the morning in which it seems like God shows up in your life. If you ever need to pray about something, get up early in the morning and listen to the voice of the Lord. Listen to how God begins to order your steps, and listen to how God begins to direct your path. Listen to how God begins to allow you to see the favor that is upon your life. Now, you know the favor that is upon your life will allow you to step over all your inabilities and everything else that is going on in your life. Because what God is saying is that I got a plan for your life. Now, God is moving you to your plan. God is moving you to your purpose. But you cannot allow the stones that is in your life to hold you back. See, the first thing that Jesus did in the cross is that, you know, when he was hanging on the cross, he said, God, forgive them.
That's right. Forgive them. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you.
I'm not God.
All right, now.
I'm not Jesus. I'm just trying my best. Because when you crucify me, I'm not thinking about forgiveness. When you crucify me, I'm sometimes trying to figure out how to get you back. Y'all act surprised. Y'all thought I was all that holy, didn't you? No, baby, we all struggling. We all got some stuff. And when you do me wrong, I'll be thinking about you. And you see, God has to come in and God has to wipe that thing away. You see, that's what the cross is all about. The cross is about forgiveness. The cross is about making it all clean. Because the truth be told, I'm not there and you're not there. See, we're dealing with some issues in our life. And every time you get over one thing, something else comes. Don't you love it when people see you going through stuff and your house, your window's already broke and they pick up a stone and somebody else throw another stone? Well, go ahead and kick me when I'm down. Because if you begin to kick me when I'm down, I know I'm in a place where I can get my praise on. I can't go no further down. So I might as well begin to praise him right there. When you're going down and you don't see a way up, you need to really get your praise on. You need to understand, yeah, I know you meant it for evil, but God is going to turn that thing around. Have you ever found yourself going through something, in the midst of going through something? God says, don't worry about what you're going through. Baby, I'm just taking you to your cross. And you see, the cross that we all have to bear in life, the cross is there so we can get closer to God. But God has to crucify this body for us to get close. And so he allows some folk to lie on you. He allows some folk to make judgment on you. He allows some folk to come in your life and mean you no good, stab you in the back. God, yes, a loving God, holy Jesus, holy God allows that all the time. And we're sitting there trying to figure out, God, if you love me, why you allow me to go through so much? And he's sitting there saying, if I don't let you go, how will you know that I'm a savior if you never find yourself lost? How do you know me to be a healer if you never sick? How do you know that I'm a banker if the bills are never passed through? How do you know that I'm a friend if you never find yourself being stabbed in the back? So everything that God is allowing you to go through is so he can show you who he is. I don't know about you, but every now and then I get a glimpse of his glory. Every now and then I see God making ways out of nowhere in my life. Every now and then I see God perform a miracle in my life. Every now and then when the bills are passed due, I hear him knocking on the door saying, I'll take care of that. Every now and then when the doctor gives you a bad report, I hear Dr. Jesus who is saying, by my stripes you're healed. We got to know that we're all going to go through something. You see, in life, people will always put you in a position to hang you.
All right, ma'am.
People will always put you in a position to hang you. But now, don't get upset because they're trying to hang you. The truth of the matter is, they like you.
All right.
The truth of the matter is that they want what you have.
That's right.
The truth of the matter is they're trying to figure out how you keep doing it as a single parent and they can't do it with two incomes. They just trying to figure it out. See, the truth is they really like you, but they don't know how to say I like you. They don't know how to understand if I connect with you and you getting your blessings now, I'm next in line. Don't worry about your best friend who's getting that blessing. You need to begin to praise God for them, understanding you're next in line. God, if you did it for them, I know you're going to do it for me. God, if you've shown mercy on them, I know you're going to do it for me. You see, but when people come in your life and people come in your life and people will try to hang you and people knock you down, you've got to understand that where I fall is not my final resting place. Let me say that again. Where I fall is not my final resting place. Yeah. I didn't get the promotion that time, but I thank God I still got a job. Yeah, I couldn't get my hair fixed like you, but I thank God I got some hair. I can't drive the kind of car that you drive, but I thank God mine will get me to work and back and will take me to church and back. I may not have what you have, but thank God I got something in my life. I got the Holy Spirit in my life. And if I got the Holy Spirit in my life, that's more than enough. You see, when the Holy Spirit steps in your life, the Holy Spirit begins to empower you. It makes you do the things that you didn't think you can do. It makes you do the impossible. It makes you forgive folk that you know don't like you. It makes you
The haters in your life. I know you hate me, baby, but I'm going to love you anyway. Because God is saying to me, if I love you, he going to bless me over here. You see, you got to learn how to take the bad stuff, how to turn that thing around and make it work for you. And so in life, people come sometimes and they'll knock you down. And they say, that's it for you. That's it. That's the end. Your failure. Where you fail, that's your final resting place. You see, and that's what they thought about Jesus. And Jesus says, no, baby, that's not it. You see, on the first day, the Bible declares that Jesus was in the grave, so we thought. But Colossians teaches us that Jesus went a little deeper. He says, I'm going to go down. I'm going to release those that has already been dead. I don't know about you, but I got some dead stuff in my life I need him to release me from. I don't know about you, but I've been caught up in some stuff I need him to let me go of. I don't know about you, but I got some sins in my life that I need him to forgive me for. And so what the Bible declares is that the 3 days that Jesus spent in the grave, that he didn't actually spend the 3 days in the grave, but he went down and released those that was in captivity. And you see, where they made him fall, where they buried him, they thought that was the end. And then somehow on the third day, you don't get it, babe. Watch this thing. On the third day, he found himself. He got up again because he remembered what God said about him. You got to hear me this. Listen, listen. Sometimes fatigue will shatter your faith. Sometimes in the midst of going through something, you're so tired because every time you get this right, somebody else comes with a different problem. Every time the cars begin to start, then the air run out the tire. And when you get the tire fixed, then the carburetor acting crazy. As soon as you get that, now the door won't open. As soon as you get that fixed, then you get home and the plumbing broke. So that's something always going on. And so what God is teaching us, listen, is that when you get tired, hold your faith. Hold your faith. In the midst of going through something, we begin to look at our situation and our circumstances, and we make our situations and our circumstances us. How you doing? Woo, baby, my bills are past due. I didn't ask you that. I asked you, how you doing? Tell me what your spirit man is saying. Tell me what God said to you. I don't want to hear about your problems. You tell me about the God that can solve your problems. You tell me about the God that will never leave you, never forsake you. You tell me about the God that promise that he'll stick closer to you than any brother. You gotta know the God that you serve. In the midst of going through something, baby, you gotta know that God will always be there, always by your side. Even when you can't walk, he says, I'll carry you. I love that about God, because sometimes, baby, when the right things hit you in life, I don't just get knocked down, I fall all out. But thank God, he'll pick you up, turn you around, and he'll put your feet on solid ground. Have you ever been knocked down before? Have you ever been knocked out before? Have you ever tried the Lord? Won't God step into your mess? Won't he turn it around? I need to talk to some stupid folks this morning. And excuse me, I don't mean to offend you. I need to talk to some folks with some stupid things this morning. I'm talking about some folks in a bad economy who still know God's gonna work it out. I'm talking about when the bills are past due, who still know God's gonna work it out. I need to talk to some folks who got some stupid things this morning. Some faith that believe in God, even though it don't look like it's gonna happen. You see, what you gotta know is this. On the third day, it says that Jesus, he was dead, but on the third day, he rose up again. You see, the number three to you and I in this modern age, in this cute age, we think about baseball, strike one. I did that one. Strike two, I did that one too. And strike three, yeah, I struck out. See, but when I struck out with man, I'm just right for a home run with God. You were looking at my failures, and God was looking at my heart. So every time I did something doesn't necessarily mean that's who I am. I've sinned, but I'm not a sinner. I've been saved by grace. I fell short on this side, but that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. I may be in a situation where I can't see my way out, but that's not who I am. I'm a child of God. You may not think a lot of me, but that's not who I am. Who I am is what God says about me. And he says about me that I'm the head and not the tail. He says about me I'm the lender and not the borrower. He says about me that I'm more than an overcomer. He says about me that no weapon that is formed against me shall prosper. So listen, you gotta watch this. Every time that somebody throws a little stone at you, don't get upset. Even if it cracks your little glass house, it's all right. It's all right. You got me that time. But that's not the end of the story. You see, the end of the story is when God says, it's over. I stood on my feet to tell somebody this morning, you've been through hell and high water, but it ain't over. I stood on my feet to tell somebody this morning, your checkbook looked real bad, but it ain't over. I stood on my feet to tell somebody, somebody walked out on you, but it ain't over. I stood on my feet to tell somebody that you don't know how you're going to come through that situation, but it ain't over until God says it's over. I don't understand how God does what God does. The truth of the matter is I don't even care how he does what he does. I'm just glad he's still doing it for me. Has he done anything for you lately? You ought to give him some praise. Has he done anything for you lately? Listen, if he's done anything for you, you ought to give your neighbor a high five. And just in case they're so cute and they don't want to high five you back, tell them don't leave it hanging, baby. Don't leave it hanging. See, the high five means I'm touching and agreeing with you. The high five means it's two or three gathered together. The high five means I got somebody praying with me. The high five is somebody gonna walk with me. The high five is somebody. I wish you had somebody in your life. I wish you had somebody that was standing by your side. In the midst of you going through hell, it makes no difference because they connected to you. And they said, baby, I'm not going to leave you. I don't care who started. I don't care how bad it is. I'm going to stay by your side. And where two or three is gathered together in my name, he says, I'll walk in the midst of it. And when he walk in the midst of it, don't you know when God shows up? You act like you don't believe God will show out in your life. You know when you were driving and that car flipped over three times and you were supposed to be dead? He showed up and he showed out. You remember when you received that foreclosed notice and you were supposed to be out there by next Tuesday, but just before they put you out, he showed up and he showed out. You remember when you didn't have a job and couldn't find a dollar nowhere and every friend was gone? As soon as your dollar left, he'll show up and he'll show out. You gotta know that God says, I never leave you, baby. I never forsake you. I'm glad that we serve a God who says, listen, whatever I tell you, baby, I'm gonna stand on my word. And so God says, I love my people and I know my people need some help. And so God sent his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And so when Jesus came to this earth, he knew he was going to have to go to the cross. You see, but when he looked at the cross, he didn't see what was in front of him. He saw you and I on the other side. He saw our blessings on the other side. He saw his grace on the other side. And so in the midst of going through something, you know, old Peter says, I don't even know the man. Judas sold him out. Every other disciple walked away from him. And he found himself going through something, and he was all alone. I don't know if you ever been through something that was really pressing in your life, really painful in your life, and it looked around and everything and everybody was gone. In the midst of everything and everybody's gone in your life and you're going through something, it gets real quiet in your life. And the only thing that you can hear sometimes, the truth be told, don't get holy on me, I should not have done that. How stupid of me. I would never do that again. And so Satan will walk in that quietness. He'll begin to play mind games and trying to get you to think that God doesn't love you. See, but in the midst of going through something, when the silence begins and quietness is all around, don't listen to what Satan is saying. You need to open up the word of the Lord and say, God, now I know my situation. I know I'm going through something and I know it's dark, but you said, now listen, let your light so shine before me that they may see your good works and glorify your Father that is in heaven. In the midst of you going through something, you need to open up the word. And I know your situation looks bad, but you need to begin to tell God what God told you.
Yeah.
In his word, in closing, there's some good stuff.
Yes, it is.
All I got to do is tell him what he told me. You got to get this in the spirit. In the midst of going through something, and you crazy enough to tell God what he told you. Satan got you pinned in a corner. You can't turn to your left. Can't turn to your right. You're stuck. You can't move. Can't do nothing. And you don't even have the strength to fight your way out of the corner. What do you do when you don't have the strength to fight? What do you do? What do you do? When you've been coming to church and you've been faithful, and God still hasn't shown up. What do you do? What do you do? What do you do? What do you do when people think that you're strong? People look at you and think you got it all together, but you're dying every night inside. What do you do when you want to call a friend and tell someone, but you can't call them because you know they are doing your business? What do you do when you're all alone, stuck in the corner? And the Bible declares that we all need a little secret place. Just a little closet to pray. I can't fight my way out physically. I'll just turn around. I surrender. But you don't know my checkbook. I surrender. But you don't know what's going on in my house. I surrender. Oh. But you don't know what the doctor said. I surrender. When you started your journey, you had a lot of people around you.
Have mercy, Jesus.
And times got tough.
Yes.
They walked away.
Yes.
Jesus is saying to someone this morning, don't leave me hanging. What it's referring to is that I no longer own the cross. I think the issue sometimes with a lot of us is that every time we think about Jesus Christ, we think about Jesus hanging on an old rugged cross. Early one Sunday morning.
That's right.
Very early.
Yes.
They came looking for him.
Jesus.
Spices in hand.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But he wasn't there. I wonder when you think about Jesus, do you still picture him on the cross?
All right, now.
He's not there. He's not there.
That's right.
And so all of the disciples and everybody was perplexed, wondering what was going on. And around verse 6 or verse 7, it says they remembered what he said. In the midst of you going through something, you got to remember what God told you. You'll have a lot of naysayers in your life that say to you, it can't happen that way. Don't you listen to that. You got to remember what he said. You got to get him down off the cross.
All right now.
And allow him to ascend to the right hand of the Father. And as he sits at the right hand, he has a job there.
All right.
See, we think when we get to heaven, we're just going to cross our legs and chill on that. Heaven is a place of works. Rest, but works. And so Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. And his sole responsibility right now is to intercede for you. Let me break that down. You know when you find yourself crying and you don't know the words to say? Intercede is to take your tears and to say, I know what this drop means. I know what this ouch feel like. I know what this oops feel like. He begins to intercede. He begins to tell God your heart. Actions. Yeah, I jacked up. But my heart was chasing after God. Grace abounds. Grace steps in. God knows you. God knows you. The whole business of the cross is about forgiveness. Because of our sins, we were indebted to God. And God said, in order for me to cancel that debt, somebody got to bleed. Jeremiah, send me. Oh, God. Oh, Jeremiah. It's a little bit too much pressure for you.
All right, man.
Moses, send me. Oh, God. You kill somebody, Moses. You can't go for me. David said, I'm the man that is after God. Now, David, you've done so much, I don't even need to begin to tell you what you've done. Name after name. After name. After name. After name.
Yeah.
After name. And all of those wasn't good enough. God says, wait a minute. I'm going to take myself.
Yeah.
God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and truth.
Yeah.
He says, but I'll take this spirit and I'll wrap it up.
Yeah.
And I'll call him Emmanuel. Which means God. God knows that we're dressed up on the outside. Sweat rolling on the inside. Stink on the inside. Sin on the inside. But he says, I take the blood and I cover all of that. Love covers a multitude. How he wrapped himself up in a body.
Yes, Lord, thank you.
And he says, send me, I'll go myself. And Jesus came. And on the old rugged cross, they unrolled him.
Yes.
They threw his clothes down.
Yes.
And to
yes, Lord. Yes.
Roll the dice on him.
Yes, right.
hear somebody
here this morning is rolling the dice on another day. I got tomorrow. What if God says no? It's not promised. And that this day, your soul is required in hell.
All right now.
Are you ready for that?
All right.
That's the sermon today.
Have mercy.
It's about Jesus Christ taking off all of his holiness, all of his righteousness. And they nailed him to the old rugged cross.
Oh, yes.
And on the third day, he rose.
Yes, he did.
As the deacons come this morning, I speak to someone here this morning. Someone here this morning, you struck out. Someone there this morning, your batting average is not good at all. And God is saying to you, I know you struck out, but grace give you another chance. Would there be one this morning? You're not sure about your salvation? Would there be one this morning? On this Easter day. That if today God called you home, or today your number comes up, will you go home? If you're not absolutely sure about your salvation, I want you to take a step of faith in that aisle right there. That's all you have to do. Everything else is taken care of. That's what Easter is about. It's about Jesus Christ dying on an old rugged cross. Because he paid for your sins. All you have to do is take a step of faith. That's how simple salvation is. That's how freely you receive salvation. Just take a step of faith. Everyone this morning, not sure about your salvation. With everyone this morning, if Jesus called you right now, are you ready? Time and time again.